Pushkin.
Doing just a simple like, may, 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 may. Is that good?
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with that.
May, 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 may.
Loosen up your body.
Me, 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 me.
That's me warming up with Vanessa Hutchins. She's a singer, an actress, and a Broadway star. We've been working together since her high school musical days. That was quite a while ago. She's come a long way from then. You might also know her from her solo albums, her Broadway run in Gigi, or when she did Grease Live on television and also Rent Live.
Can we do one where we just go, wee, 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 wee.
Vanessa has been in movies from 13 and Beastly to Spring Breakers and The Princess Switch. Her newest film, Tick, Tick, Boom, is also Lin-Manuel Miranda's directorial film debut. She co-stars with Andrew Garfield. Today, we're going to talk about all of that and more. This is Backstage Pass with Eric Vitro, and I'm Eric Vitro. On this show, I talk to some of the most talented and famous singers working today about their lives, their craft, and what it takes to make it really big. I happen to be their voice teacher and their vocal coach, so our conversations are uniquely different from their usual interviews. Vanessa has a wide range of talents and voices, from Maureen in Rent to Rizzo in Grease, or even voicing Sunny Star Scout in My Little Pony. And she works all of that energy and enthusiasm into her speaking voice.
You know, my voice is my voice, and I love it because it's hella versatile, and I feel like I'm just leaning into all the different sides of my voice. I've been doing voiceovers recently, which is very new for me, and I've always wanted to do it. So just kind of playing with my voice and seeing where I can take it, and then seeing that put into, like, these characters. Oh, my God. I love it. It's so fun.
Like in this next clip, Vanessa got to experiment with accents, cast as both characters you're about to hear in The Princess Switch.
Who are you?
Lady Margaret Delacour, Duchess Montanaro.
Stacey DeNovo.
I think we were destined to run into each other.
I think that my relationship with my voice has been, like, a long one. Because I feel like when I was younger, I used to hate how high my voice was. And so then I would, like, consciously try to lower it. But then because I was doing that, then I became really aware of my voice, my speaking voice, and then started incorporating that into my work.
Your voice, one of the things I think is unique about it is it always sounds so natural. You never sound like you're straining when you sing. It always sounds so easy. And
well, I mean, like, a lot of that is thanks to you.
Well.
You help me make sure that things are easy and not strained. And when they are strained, you're like, why are you lifting your chin up? And I'm like, I don't know.
That's
and then
true.
I don't.
Yeah. But
yeah,
I
so
love
it's
that.
All you.
Well, I love that about your voice because I always feel very relaxed listening.
Aww.
You know, I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So speaking of voices and voice lessons, is there an exercise, a vocal exercise that you really love? Like, is your favorite?
I mean, I feel like I have a couple. When I was younger and was not putting in as much work as I possibly could, I wouldn't do my full warm-ups. I would literally just do, like, slides. Okay. And then I'd like go on to stage. I'm so bad. But my favorite that I have of your warm-ups is your warm down. Because we were getting ready for me to go to Broadway. And you're like, what's very important is to cool your voice down because it's an exercise with your body. You exercise and then you stretch. And on the tape, you go, me, me, may, may, come in, sit down. And I would do that after every show to myself.
And then did you continue speaking like that?
Yeah, and then everything was very light, and my voice is going to be okay because I'm speaking in a very soft place.
Well, that makes me really, really happy to hear. The most recent thing we worked on together was the Kennedy Center Honors, where you sang Fame, the iconic song Fame, which a very good friend of mine wrote the lyric to, for the Debbie Allen tribute. What was that like? Was that fun? Did you enjoy it?
It was amazing, yeah. I mean, I feel like I remember sitting down with you and being like, okay, I gotta really learn this song, make sure I actually know the notes I'm meant to be doing. And I was just like, it's in a couple of days, but we'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
That's funny you say you told me in a couple of days, because my normal instinct, if anyone else said that, would be, oh, no, this is insane. Like, is she crazy? And I think I said to you that day, normally I'd be really nervous about this a couple days before. Are you kidding me? But with you, I'm like, well, it always does work out. And that's kind of always been your motto.
Yeah.
Because you always say that. Just calm down, relax. It always works out.
Yeah. Because I'm just like, there's no point on stressing something that you can't change. So end of day, I'm like, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give it all that I can and have faith that, like, it will be fine because I've been performing my entire life and I love doing it. So I always know that, like, even if I mess up, it will be okay because I think my passion and love for it shines.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. And then the other thing in the present is you have a great, big, wonderful, exciting movie coming out. Directed by Lin-Manuel Miranda, the great Lin-Manuel Miranda,
yes,
I have to say.
Great.
What was that like working with him? I mean, he's incredible.
Well, he is phenomenal. I remember my first time meeting him was, I think it was right after we did Grease. He was still doing Hamilton. We went backstage with Tommy Kaur, director on Grease, and he had gotten Lin the T-Birds motorcycle jacket, the leather coat.
Oh, wow.
So we got up there and he was wearing it. And I was just like, oh my God, look at you go. And he was just so sweet and complimentary. And I was just like obsessed, obviously, with Hamilton as well. And then I worked on In the Heights at the Kennedy Center, where he would come by and like hang out with us. And to be able to be in his directorial debut film is so special. It really feels like such a tight-knit family theater, and to like be a part of his crossovers.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Now, in case you don't know, Tick, Tick, Boom was originally a one-man show written and performed by Jonathan Larson, the creator of the hit musical Rent. The 2021 film Vanessa's In is an adaptation.
It's really great. I think that like it really takes you back to that time and what it looked like for Jonathan Larson living in the Lower East Side in the 90s during the AIDS pandemic. Like everybody was scared, but like living and creating and doing their best.
Oh, the buzz is amazing. I can't wait to hear the final
product. It's so good. I'm so excited.
Wow. And then when we worked on it, you and I just going through the music before you did it, your voice just sounded so great on those songs.
Especially because a lot of what I got to do in Tick, Tick, Boom is like harmonies and like backup vocals, because that's what my character did. She did Jonathan's backup vocals in his show, along with Joshua Henry, who is another phenomenal voice and human. But singing with him and harmonizing with him, oh my gosh, it just gave me so much joy every day that like during our breaks, we would just sing together and harmonize with each other because it was so fun and we sound so good together.
And all that work paid off. Listen to their harmonies here in this clip from the movie Tick, Tick, Boom. So now I'm going to rewind all the way back.
Time travel. Pew, pew.
I remember our first working experience. I'm not sure if you remember it, but it was during, of course, the iconic High School Musicals. And I remember us being in a studio in Santa Monica. And you had that same quality where you were like, all right, this is going to be really fun tonight. And I was like, who is this girl who is so relaxed? Like, where does that come from? Is that because you did start so young?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I used to be really shy. I was a very, very, very shy, timid child. I did not like socializing. I just wanted to hide.
Wow.
Or like play in the grass and the dirt. Like, people scared me. I think that what took me out of my shell was doing theater. I mean, I think I did my first play when I was 7.
And where was that?
Or 6. In Vista, like by San Diego, at this little community theater. And I was terrified. I think I was playing ensemble parts in the beginning because that's what you do. And every now and then there would be like an improv part of the day. And my God, I would make myself as small as humanly possible so that they wouldn't pick me because I was terrified. But, you know, when you're forced to go outside of your comfort zones, it pushes you and you evolve and you grow and you adapt. So I think that really helped me come out of my shell. And then as well, having a character to hide behind, having someone else's words to say, you know, I can bring that life, but someone's already written down what I meant to say. So I think that really gave me comfort to just be okay in my own skin and in my own space. And then I fell in love with all of it.
So because though you were terrified and nervous, did you go through with it because someone, were your parents kind of pushing it, or
no,
did you know?
It was just like, I loved performing ever since I was really young. I loved being on the stage. I loved musicals. It was just something that I adored. And while it was uncomfortable, the payoff was worth it every time.
Right, right. Were your parents performers?
No. They were like, you want to do that? Okay.
And they weren't in the business at all?
No, not at all. Like, my dad was a firefighter and my mom, like, had various jobs and we were moving around a lot. And I think that God was like, hey, you're going to be a performer, kid.
Wow.
And I've been like, okay, ever since.
Yeah, so I think that probably is one reason you're so comfortable. Although some people start young and aren't comfortable and stay nervous or anxious forever.
I mean, I think that it's a choice as well, nerves. Like, how you label it is such a big thing. Words are so powerful because you can take that feeling and be like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going to throw up. My stomach is so anxious. I'm so nervous. I'm terrified. Or you can be like, whoa, my stomach feels crazy. It's like there's butterflies in there. I am so excited. You know, it's just how you label it. I think it helps.
That is a great way to put it. And that does sum up you. As now it's
totally
going through my head, everything I've seen you, we've been in the recording studio numerous times, different projects or backstage before. And that is you. Always, you always label it as positive.
Yeah, because you have a choice. Why choose the negative? And like, yeah, it might take a little work. And after a while, that becomes a habit. And that starts to become just you.
Was there a moment you remember back in those early days when you were like, this is it for me. This is what I'm going to do.
No.
No?
It kind of was and still is just something that I love doing. I can't imagine doing anything else. I mean, like, the grind was continuous. I didn't really stop. I was doing community theater, and then I moved on to doing a show at the Old Globe with Jack O'Brien, who is an icon. And I was doing, like, extra work in commercials, and then would book the national commercial, so then did that, and then started doing extra work on TV shows, and then booked guest spots on TV shows, and then did my first couple movies. I did 13 was my first movie, and then Thunderbirds was my second, and then High School Musical, I think, was my third. But yeah, I mean, I was chugging along the entire time, going on auditions and like committed to the grind.
You performed in Washington right around, I think, High School Musical 3. It was after it. But I remember you had to sing a Christmas medley in Washington.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember it's the same thing. You came in and you said, okay, here's the music. And I was like, what? It was like 10. Oh my God. I was like, this is insane. When is it? And you're like, yeah, I've got a few days. I leave tomorrow. And I was like, no, this can't.
You're like, why are you doing this to me?
And once again, you were like, oh, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. I'll learn it. And you did. I mean, I think we worked on it for 2 hours. And by the end of it, you knew the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, looking back at that, I'm like, I wish I would have taken a little bit more time to work on that.
But I think you had a million other things going on.
Yeah. Busy girl.
Now, don't go anywhere. Backstage Pass with me, Eric Vitro, and my guest, Vanessa Hutchins, will be right back just after this. Welcome back. Here's the rest of Backstage Pass with me, Eric Vitro, and the lovely Vanessa Hutchins. What was that like for you, being in New York, a California girl, on Broadway?
I remember making friends with someone and him being like, you seem like such a New Yorker. Like, I feel like you belong in New York. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, me from California, thinking of myself as like just your classic California girl, which I am. But it's so funny because the older that I've gotten, I now have a place in New York and I am such a New Yorker. When I go to New York and come back to LA, I'm like, oh my God, people are so slow. What are they doing? And like my whole vibe changes, but I love it. It's just a special place, especially being in those theaters. We were at the Neil Simon.
Vanessa's talking about her first Broadway show, Gigi.
The night they invented champagne, the stars came out to shine.
Like, I just remember walking in the first time we got into the theater, and they put the marquee up, and there was a picture of Audrey Hepburn standing in front of her marquee when she did Gigi, which was her first Broadway show. And I walked into the theater and just looked around and just took it in, just thought about, like, all the performers that were there before me, and it was just really special. And that was such a fun show, too. I mean, the music was great. The costumes were magnificent. I had some of the most insane costume quick changes ever. It was thrilling.
Yeah, I remember those gorgeous pictures of you. When they released those, they were unbelievable. The costume changes in a Broadway show can be really, really fast and really difficult. But trust me, they're so worth it. I still remember sitting in my seat watching Vanessa on stage in those elegant gowns, the sleek opera gloves, and the feather boas. Oh, and can we talk about the dressing room for a minute?
Gosh, well, I had to deck out my dressing room. My first Broadway dressing room. Yeah, no, yeah. I went for it.
Yeah, you totally did.
I, like, painted it pink. All the flowers that I would get, I would hang them upside down and dry them. Oh, I put up, like, a tapestry. I put up, like, a Paris wallpaper.
Right, right.
Like, I was doing the most.
And then I was lucky enough to be there when you did that recording session for the cast album.
Yeah.
And I remember, once again, you were excited about it. I was waiting for you on the street. Your car pulled up. You got out and you went, all right, this is going to be fun. And I was like, oh, my God, she's always so excited and happy about these things. And then you went in and just nailed it so fast. Is that because you really just had been doing it on Broadway? So you felt like, oh, I really know it and I'm confident? Or did you, like, really prep in your mind? All right, I'm recording today. I'm going to go in.
Like, no, I mean, I think that, like, because I had been doing it so many times, from rehearsals to then previews, and, like, because it's live theater, there's no auto-tune or anything, so you do your best to make sure that you are on pitch and that your placement is right every night.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was just kind of like, it became habitual, those songs.
That is the thing about those live television musicals. There is no fixing them. Like, that is live.
Yeah.
There's no auto-tune. There's no, you know, anything. You can't go back. If you make a mistake, if you crack, if you forget a lyric. So you did it with so much confidence. Do you think being on Broadway helped you, or is it just all the years leading up to it?
I mean, Broadway definitely helped. It's such a high level of performers on Broadway that you want to be up there with them. Like, you want to make sure that you're performing at a level that is worthy of gracing Broadway stages. But I think professionalism has always been something that's very important to me, and it's something that I pride myself on. So it's not something that I take lightly. Like, that is my job, and I'm going to go and do the best job I can.
What would you say, because you've obviously now done movie musicals, you did it live. Is there one that you enjoy more?
I think doing the live musicals to television might be my favorite because it is the most exhilarating, challenging, thrilling thing I think you can possibly do. Because I love doing Broadway, obviously, but it lives there. And then once the show's over, it's over. Like, you can go to the library to go see it, but that's it, you know? And with the televised ones, like, the world gets to see it, right, which is so cool. And it can, like, bring families together. And it's like an experience. And you can watch it back and see it. But know that it was actually your performance that you gave. Because with movies and stuff, you lose that connection of performer to audience. And with the live-to-TV ones, that remains.
Right, right.
It's really cool. And it's the craziest thing ever. Like, I remember doing Grease and running off the stage into a golf cart, going over to another stage, running onto that stage, throwing all my clothes off, putting on new clothes on, running out, doing a scene, and then, like, continuing the running. Like, it was just madness. The fact that that came together the way that it did is such a miracle. But Rent, too. Like, there's so many moving pieces. It's crazy.
And for Grease, remember, it started raining a little bit earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And then I remember the wind was, I think it blew something down.
Yeah.
And
it felt like a disaster.
Yeah, but you guys were troopers. You just, you know.
You evolve. You adapt.
When you do get to watch, because you can't really see yourself on Broadway. You can, like you said, if you go to the library and see one taped version. But, like, have you watched live Grease or Rent?
Oh, yeah, of course. I feel like I watched them both, like, right afterwards.
And what do you feel when you watch it? What's that experience like?
It's fun. It's exciting. I mean, like, with both of those, I'm really proud with what I did. And I don't have a hard time watching myself. Like, I can enjoy my performance and everyone else's performances. And, like, we worked so hard on them that it's such a labor of love to see it all come together. Like, I get to enjoy it as an audience member as well.
Grease was great. And, like, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, but what was pretty amazing in Grease is that some people might not know your dad passed away the day before.
The night before.
The night before.
I was, like, he was battling cancer, but I so many times was just like, please, God, not the night before. That's all I kept saying. But, like, now as I say that, I'm like, bitch, you are sticking all your energy into night before. So, like, yeah, of course it would happen the night before. But, yeah, it was brutal. But I think that, like, my dad was one of my biggest supporters and fans. He would have wanted me to do what I did, you know? And then our producer, Mark, dedicated it to him at the end, which was so beautiful.
Right. Wow. Yeah. By Mark, you mean Mark Platt, the amazing Mark Platt.
Yes, he's phenomenal.
One of the best.
And then my mom was there. My sister was there. And it was just like a really beautiful kind of way to remember him by us all being together and, like, me performing and doing what I love and what he spent so much of his time working towards to help me.
Yeah, I remember in the dressing room, I wasn't sure when we warmed up how it was going to go because you said, I'm okay, I'm going to deal with this later.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it. Let's not dwell on it. I'm going to compartmentalize it.
Yeah.
But you had such a look in your eyes. I thought, wow, I don't know how this is going to go. And then if anybody didn't know that happened, they would have never known. I mean, you were just, you got out there and you soared.
Well, like, playing Rizzo as well is so much fun.
Yeah,
it's so much fun. She's just spunky and she's sassy and she, like, knows how to capture guys' attention. And I was like, we're going to channel that bitch and, like, be as her as we possibly can be.
You can hear that sassy tone in this clip of Vanessa as Rizzo in Grease Live.
I really did have a great time. I think that, like, compartmentalizing is so real and something that you kind of have to do sometimes to push through. But I really did still enjoy that.
Wow, that's so great. And that's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, he worked hard to get you, help you there.
Yeah.
You know? Well, both of them. Grease was great. Rent. Once again, Rent, we sat in your trailer. Remember you had the trailer? Mm-hmm. And the first hour before Maureen makes her fantastic entrance, you were just having the best time watching everybody. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really endearing to me, that you were really cheering on everybody, all your castmates watching them for the first hour. Like some people go, no, I don't want to watch it. No, I don't want to be distracted. You were like cheering for them and dancing around the room. And
well, I mean, that's what Maureen would have been doing. So I think there's definitely a subconscious piece of that, maybe.
Yeah.
Was not intentional. What I was doing was enjoying the show. Like, I am a massive theater lover and gigantic Jonathan Larson fan. So, like, watching my friends do a show that I love and sing the music that I adore, like, it's just the best time. I got to, like, sit front row and cheer on my friends.
Yeah, no, that was great. And then you left me in the trailer and went, all right, I'm going to go have a good time. And I just sat there watching, and it was great. And I was so proud of you. Those reviews were unbelievable. They were so great of you. I remember when we were in the trailer for Rent, you said, I love this so much, I'm going to make sure I do something musical every single year.
Yes, I know. And since then, I have.
You have, yeah.
Every year, I've done at least one musical thing.
Yeah.
It's medicine for my heart.
And I feel that's what I've seen over the years. You can see it in all of Vanessa's performances. Whether she's singing on stage or acting on screen, Vanessa always has fun. I've seen you kind of grow and grow up and have a lot of life experiences, career experiences. But the truth is, your essence is always the same. Like, you keep evolving and getting better, but who you really are as a person has not changed.
That makes me so happy.
At all.
That makes me so happy.
Well, it's like a great quality. It's a really great quality.
Yeah.
You know,
you just try to stay true.
Yeah. Well, you have. And I really mean that. It's that positive thinking that always helps her find her way while still celebrating exactly who she is. And isn't that something we all should be striving for? While we're trying to make our way in the world, I think it's important to remember two things. To work hard, but to also have patience. Because as Miles Davis said, man, sometimes it takes a long time to sound like yourself. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll go over this week's vocal tips and Vanessa's favorite exercise, the cool downs. Welcome back. It's time for our weekly Backstage Pass vocal tip. Hopefully, you're feeling inspired to sing yourself. Why just let the stars have all the fun? Come on, let's get you working your own voice. Now, I know sometimes the hardest part of vocal training can be finding the time and the inspiration to practice every day. Just ask Vanessa.
When we don't work together for a while and then I get a job or something where I'm singing, you're like, so how have you been? Have you been singing? You always ask. And I'm always like,
No.
No, not really. Have you been doing your vocal warm-ups? You ask. I'm like, no.
And then I put on my poker face and go, okay.
Yeah. And I mean, like, when it's time to, like, focus in, like, I do it every day. But I feel like consistency is the hardest thing. Like, just continuing to do it because it is a muscle and, like, it doesn't stay strong forever. Like, you have to keep it strong and strengthening it. So that's, I think, always been my downfall.
Right. I don't think it's a downfall. It's your process and it's working for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think you have to think of it like that, really.
The whole experience, I feel like, is just so therapeutic. Like seeing you and talking and doing the exercises and moving around the room and like being silly and like just enjoying the process and then working on something with you and seeing how the little tricks or things that you may give me make such a big difference. And then like the relief of knowing that I have those in my back pocket going forward is just wonderful. It's like winning all around.
Oh, I love that. I love that you said that. Thank you. For the vocal tip this week, inspired by Vanessa, let's talk about developing your lower notes and how to cool down your voice. Let's start working on developing those lower notes to widen your range. They should feel as easy as speaking. First, say, mm-hmm, me-me. Try to speak the me-me in your natural speaking voice, but with just a little bit more forward placement than usual. Little bit of a nasal sound. Mm-hmm, me-me. Then try, mm-hmm, may-may. Then try singing five notes in a descending order like you heard Vanessa doing at the beginning of our episode. You can try it on me-me or may-may. Me-me, 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 me. Basses, baritones, and tenors start on a G below middle C like this. Keep singing this five-note pattern, continually transposing it down by half steps. In other words, changing the keys by half steps, like this. Keep going until you reach the lowest note you can sing comfortably. You can always use a piano or a keyboard downloaded onto your phone or your tablet to give you the starting notes of each pattern. Sopranos and altos start on a G above middle C. Remember, keep the vibrations forward on the roof of your mouth. Just keep transposing, changing the keys down by half steps until you reach your lowest note. Go as low as you can comfortably. Now, let's try a little cooling down. If you've ever watched a marathon runner, you saw that they kept walking and moving after the race, so their leg muscles didn't cramp up. They never just stopped short. The same principle applies to a singer after a major singing event, like a concert or a long recording session or a big rehearsal. My students always tell me that when they do a short cool down, or some people prefer to call it a warm down, they wake up the next day feeling much better and stronger. I break my cool downs into two parts. Today, we're going to focus on the speaking part of the cool down, which is to have you focus keeping your speaking voice forward in your mouth after you've been doing a big sing. First, say, mm-hmm, hello. Now say, mm-hmm, please come in. Do you feel how the mm-hmm really propels your voice nice and forward in your mouth? That's a really healthy place to speak from after you've been doing a big sing. Try it again. Mm-hmm, hello. Mm-hmm, thank you for coming to the show. All right, I know this is probably feeling very unnatural, but you only have to do it in this exaggerated way for about 15 minutes after that big singing event, just to make sure you're keeping your speaking voice in a forward, healthy range. That's going to really save your voice. After that, you can keep it forward, but relax it so you sound more like you. If you want to share how you're developing your low notes or doing a cool down, I'd love to hear you. Use the hashtag BackstagePassPod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or wherever you like to post. I can't wait to see your videos. I'll see you next week.
Me, 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 me.
Backstage Pass with Eric Vitro is written and hosted by me, Eric Vitro, and produced by Morgan Jaffe. Catherine Girardot is our showrunner. Emily Rostek is our associate producer. Mixed and mastered by Ben Tolliday. Additional engineering help is from Jacob Gorski. Mia Lobel is our executive producer. Our development team, Lital Molad and Justine Lang, helped create the show. Thanks also to Jacob Weisberg, Heather Fain, John Schnars, Carly Migliori, Christina Sullivan, Eric Sandler, Maggie Taylor, Nicole Morano, Daniela Lucan, and Royston Bezerg. Original theme music is by Jacob and Sita Steele for Premier Music Group. We record at Resonate Studios. Fred Tallickson does our videography, and the photography is by Ken Sawyer. A very special thanks to Michael Lewis for his inspiration and the best guidance anyone could ask for. Backstage Pass with Eric Vitro is a production of Pushkin Industries. And if you like the show, please remember to share, rate, and review. I mean that, really. Share it, rate it, and review it. If you love this show and others from Pushkin Industries, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus. Pushkin Plus is a podcast subscription that offers bonus content and uninterrupted listening for $4.99 a month. Look for Pushkin Plus on Apple Podcast subscriptions. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.